This morning, we are going to continue briefly, kind of setting up really next week where we're going to go a little bit more in depth into sacrificial love. As we've been talking about this the past couple of weeks, this idea of being a living sacrifice. And in Romans chapter 12, where it says, you know, present your bodies as living sacrifices. And then he goes on to say, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. And he's implying that there is a pattern that we're conforming to that isn't God. And it takes sacrificing ourselves and what comes natural and what feels good and what the world would tell us. And the world, it takes sacrifice to conform to the pattern of God. And what the world would tell us about love, we're going to find out, is not exactly accurate. And so what does it look like to sacrifice ourselves for the sake of another? Because that's what sacrificial love is all about. It's about sacrificing what feels good to me, what seems right, what is comfortable for me for the sake of someone else. And we're going to look at 1 Corinthians 12, kind of an obscure passage for this topic, because typically we would go to 1 Corinthians 13 if we wanted to find out all about love. As we go through this whole concept of sacrificial love, I want you to keep in the back of your mind this idea of Jesus versus a barn full of cats. All right, let me explain. As you know, growing up, I went over to my granddaddy's house in Calhoun County, Alabama, right outside of Anniston. He had a farm. We did a lot of stuff on the farm. And on this farm, there was a barn. And in the barn, there was all kinds of stuff. He kept corn in there and hay and all kinds of other. And in that barn, there were hundreds upon thousands, virtually millions, of these little bitty mice. And when you would go into the barn, all these mice would scatter and you'd see them jumping over rafters and they'd go, and it was, you know, and it was entertaining to watch them. But for the most part, when you walked in there, they would get out of your way. Well, as it turns out, mice are, you know, they have a tendency to mess up your corn and, you know, make nests and they can even do a number on a truck, can't they, Earl? Yeah, they ask Earl about the mice in the truck story. It's pretty disgusting. But anyway, so Pawpaw had this great idea. Let's get a couple of cats and put out there, take care of the mouse problem. Sounds logical. That's a great idea. Until the cats start having kittens. And in just a few short years, what went from a barn full of mice that would scatter was a barn full of cats that were disgusting. I mean, the smell in there was overwhelming. And they let you know as soon as you went in there that that is their barn and you are an intruder. They wouldn't scatter. Some of them would attack. So basically, the barn went from slightly irritating because of the mice to virtually unusable because of the cats. Now, there's another story that goes, that's a chapter 2 or 3 of this story. That's Jesus, the cats, and then a big fat rat snake. But then we won't go into that. But what a lot of times starts out as a blessing, as a solution, can quickly turn into a problem. It can quickly become almost a curse. And if we return to Jesus, a return to a spiritual connection with Jesus and His purpose, it'll get us closer to the blessings that God intended. Sacrificial love is the key to this. I want you to look with me at, can y'all even see those words? I had a lot to put on there, and it's a lot. But just, I want to read through, and Hyatt, will you keep the go in the next couple of slides as I read through the entire chapter of 1 Corinthians 12. And then we're going to go through really briefly a couple of points that I want you to really be more thinking about as we go into next week and go a little bit deeper into this. So 1 Corinthians 12 says, "Now about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that when you were pagan, somehow or another, you were influenced and led astray by mute idols. Therefore, I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, 'Jesus be cursed,' and no one can say, 'Jesus is Lord,' except by the Holy Spirit." Now, I want to pause there for a second and just make this point. Do you believe? This is a big moment. Do you believe that Jesus, the Son of God, that Jesus is Lord? Do you believe that? If you believe that, you are enabled, you are empowered to know that by God's Holy Spirit. There's no other way. Scripture is clear. There's no other way for anyone to believe, to know that Jesus is Lord, but by the Holy Spirit of God. Jesus even told Peter that. He said, you can't know that other than God told you that. So if that's you, Holy Spirit is enabling you. Holy Spirit is in you. So the rest of this applies. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. See, he starts that so that no one can say, "Well, I don't have any gifts of the Holy Spirit. That doesn't apply to me. You know, that's other people." No. If you believe that Jesus is Lord, Holy Spirit applies to you. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works in all of them and all men. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. And all these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He gives them to each just as He determines. The body is a unit. Though it is made up of many parts, and though all the parts have many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we are all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we are all given the one Spirit to drink. Now the body is not made of one part, but many. If the foot should say, "Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body," it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, "Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body," it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as He wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, "I do not need you." And the head cannot say to the feet, "I do not need you." On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. While our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has combined the members of the body, has given greater honor to these parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And in the church, God has appointed, first of all, apostles, second, prophets, third, teachers, then workers of miracles, also those having gifts of healing, those able to help others, those with the gifts of administration, and those speaking in different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have the gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But eagerly desire the greater gifts. And now I will show you the most excellent way. He goes in to this big, long speech. And it's part of an even longer speech. And the reality of it is that he's trying to get us to understand this is not a passage so much about unity. I mean, this is the thing, you know, we talk, you know, you're all different, but you're all one, and there's all this, and there's all that. This isn't primarily a passage about unity. This is primarily a passage about diversity. Because isn't there so many different kinds of people, even in here? Even in this room, you know, we all kind of look a little similar. You know, we all kind of dress a little bit similar to each other and kind of consistently. But if you go, we are all very different. We all have different views. We all have different talents. We all have different gifts. And he's making the point, it isn't about our unity. It's about our diversity. And sacrificial love is being unified within our diversity. It's being unified in a body that everything doesn't work, act, or perform the same way. The problem is that so often within this passage, the gift becomes about the recipient and it isn't about the giver. In their day, he goes on to talk about that in their, and we'll talk about this later, their day, the gift of speaking in tongues kind of became an issue. And the tongue speakers that were speaking these tongues, and it was a very, believe me, it was a very real thing. And he says that if you're speaking in tongues, there needs to be someone there to interpret that, because if not, then the only one who's lifted up is the one who's speaking. And nobody else knows what's going on, so nobody else is edified. But just like a lot of times, we will turn spiritual gifts away from the giver and turn them on. Look at me. Look at how good I am. But but gifts glorify the giver. It's a lot like spiritual gifts to me are a lot like when Hayden and I are wrestling. At no time is it glorifying for him to go to Vic and say, "Mom, did you see how I let him throw me around? Did you see how I let him just pin me and hold me down against my will? Did you see how I let him beat me up?" No. Because when someone of superior strength and when someone of superior intellect and knowledge manhandles someone else, it in no way glorifies the manhandlee. And we don't brag about that. We get in a fight. We don't say, "Did you see how I let him just beat me?" No. God imposes himself upon the willing for his glory. So whenever our gifts, whenever they are displayed, whenever they are in act, whenever they come to bear, it is always about God. Our spiritual gifts are about God and not us. And so what he teaches us throughout this passage, throughout the Corinthians, and later on we'll talk about a passage at the end of Acts, and this will be next week where Paul talks about his own experience. He says, I know, I don't brag about anything, but I know of a man who was called up to heaven, and he sees, you know, Paul's clearly talking about himself there. And he talks about this guy and he says, "I will brag about what God has done, not about what I have done." And so he goes on to talk to us about that sacrificial love. And if we are going to experience that, if we are going to display that, sacrificial love is more about restraint. About what can I do or not do to build the body up, to glorify God. Not about me, not about drawing attention, not about being important, but what can I do to build up others? What can I do to glorify God? What can I do to bring unity in the midst of diversity? So this week, be thinking about that. Be thinking about, you know, what is what I'm doing bringing unity in the midst of our diversity? Is what I'm doing lifting up God, or is what I'm doing building up others, or is it just putting a spotlight on me? Am I using the gifts of God's Holy Spirit that are meant to build up His body and glorify Him? And am I using those to draw attention to myself? To just let everybody know that, hey, I'm in good with the big guy. I must be real important. Because that's kind of where this barn turns into a big, giant herd of cats. And the blessing of God's Holy Spirit isn't a blessing any longer. So this week, as we pray about this, as we think about this, think about how can we be more sacrificial in our love? How can we show restraint as we love others? And this is going to lead us into a sermon series where we're quitting. You can write this down. Quitting is the new winning. Ah, thank goodness. We quit and we win. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You so much for today. We thank You for the opportunity to talk about Your Word, to encourage each other, to grow closer to You. Father, I pray that You would bless our time remaining together. Father, I pray that You would bless our fellowship. We know that the basis of this whole world is fellowship. That everything that we experience comes from fellowship. Father, help us to be to glory in our diversity as we reach out. Help us to be restrained as we remain unified in the middle of that. God, as we stand together and sing this song of invitation, I pray that if there is anyone who is struggling with their relationship with You, Father, that they would come forward, that they would ask for prayers, Father, that they would just lean upon You. Father, open doors. Give us ways out of Satan's lies. It's in Jesus' holy and precious name I pray. Amen. If you are struggling this morning, if you need prayers to this church, come forward together as we stand and as we sing.